This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Thank you for joining us in the Akhlaq class. This is the first class for the second semester, inshallah. Today, before we move on, I want to make a quick review for the previous semester. If you remember, we focused on the practical aspect of akhlaq, because it's really important. You could quote many ayat, you could quote many ahadith, but what's the use if you are not applying this in your daily life? What's the use if when you are on the spot, you are not doing what you know? Many people, they know what to do, but unfortunately, when they should do it, they don't do it. So we have studied the book of Ibn Hazm for like 15 weeks. For 3 months. What did you get from it? I expect from the students of Aris that their akhlaq are changed in a better sense, inshallah. Which means if there is something wrong happens, they can deal better with it. If they are criticized, they accept criticism. That's what we studied. If they are praised, they are not arrogant because of this praise. If they see people better than them, in worldly things, they are not distressed by that because they know that these things change. If they see someone better than them in the religion, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become like them or even better. So all these things are expected from you as students. And without implementing these things, without trying to do them, apply them in your life, you cannot improve yourself. So you need to do that and you need to practice on daily basis. So I asked the students of the summer class, and I did not ask the students of the first semester, what things attracted them most to this subject. What things that you saw in the book of Ibn Hazm rahimahullah that you feel you could apply. And it is nice. You did not see it in another book. Could you give me examples? Because whatever remains in your mind, that's most likely what you will do, inshallah. One of the things that are really important, and it is practical, the method of advice. You may see many things that are going wrong, and you wanted to change them. How do you do that? Ibn Hazm rahimahullah gave you practical steps. How to advise someone. How to treat people. Do you waste your time 24 hours with your friends, or you don't deal with anybody, you isolate yourself from everyone? Ibn Hazm rahimahullah again gave you a practical example how to do that. Do you spend much time on trivial things? What should you wear today? You spend 2 hours confused, this thing, no, I have to wear this thing. Or you remember what Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whatever is available, you use it. Whatever you have of food, you eat it. These things are practical examples from Ibn Hazm rahimahullah. Honestly, I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to see one of my students in a situation and he is doing exactly the opposite of what he studied. I mean, what's the advantage then? What's the use of studying? Especially this subject, you need to implement it. And akhlaq, the real akhlaq, will come when you are under pressure, when there is a difficult situation. In regular cases, everybody is good. Alhamdulillah, you are nice to people, they are nice to you. But how can you be better? How can you improve yourself? So this is a brief introduction, and now inshallah, we are moving to the second semester. Let me remind you with the definition of akhlaq, because we are continuing studying akhlaq. What's the akhlaq? How can you say that he has akhlaq and he doesn't have akhlaq? She has good character, she doesn't have a good character. What's the definition of akhlaq? This is again from the first semester. It seems you forgot. We said it's quality of actions or dealings. Dealings with oneself, with others, with animate beings, and with inanimate objects. This is very important when we deal with people and when we deal with our own selves. This is akhlaq as well. And when we deal with others, it also includes the inanimate objects. So you need to remember that. And that's where we will start, inshallah. Who do we deal with, like on a daily basis? Family members, that's good. Who else? Before family members, your own self. Before your own self, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exactly. So we have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a relationship with our own selves. We deal with our own selves. We deal with others. Who are others? Others include our parents, our children, our spouses, wife or husband, our relatives, our neighbors, and our community, everybody else. All these people, we need to know how to deal with them. First, our akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if I asked you, how is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it healthy, is it strong, or it is weak? Now, of course, everybody will say, Alhamdulillah, it is perfect. Now, that's what you think. But when you try to apply the rules that we have, the guidelines of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find out. We have a method to measure your akhlaq. It is easy. It is mentioned in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or you complain, you wish, oh, I wish if I was this, if I was that, whatever. Is he pleased with you? Now, this is the question. Is he pleased with you? Do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course we do. I mean, the one who does not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if he does everything, he is kafir, he is not Muslim. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a condition of iman. But does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you or not? That's the question. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you or not? How can you find out? Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah loves those who turn in repentance. Do you turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you repent to Him? Allah loves those who are patient. Are you patient? Or you have a temper, you cannot be patient. That's what we have in the Quran. So again, it's very easy to implement. You could have a chart, take a paper, and write down everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it. Allah loves it. And see how many of these things you are doing, and how many of these things you are missing. At the end, you will find out if you are failing or you are passing. Our akhlaq with our own self. Now, it is really important. Are you peaceful to yourself or not? Now, someone would say, what do you mean by that? I'm not fighting myself. No, actually, you may do this. How to find out? Ask yourself. Do you serve your body to serve you in the hereafter, or you are causing destruction for yourself? Now, I cannot expect from someone who drinks to tell me that he is in peace with his self. He is causing diseases. I cannot expect from someone who is abusing his body by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is in peace with his own self. Remember, on the day of judgment, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Your tongue that you talk with and your mouth will testify against you on the day of judgment. Your hands and your legs. Basically, your entire body will testify against you. Your skin. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. And they asked their skins, why you testify against us? So are you in peace with your own self or not? Akhlaq with parents. Now, of course, we are moving quickly. We will take each one of these qualities in details. I could brief it in one question. Akhlaq with the parents. One question only. If you could answer it, that's it. Are you dutiful to your parents? Are you or aren't you? Now, again, the immediate reaction, yes, I am. Well, you cannot judge. If someone asked your parents, what they will say? Are you dutiful or not? According to what to their answer, not to you. So if they say you are dutiful to them, that's it, alhamdulillah. Akhlaq with family. Your wife. Your children. Are you a good companion? Which means that if you are a husband, your wife waits for you until you come home, or the moment you come, she's upset and everything goes wrong. Are you, as the Messenger said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ, the best of you are those who are best to their wives, those who treat their wives in the best manner. The same thing for the wife. Is your husband pleased with you? And you will say, yes, of course. But if we asked him, what he will say? Now that's the akhlaq. That's the akhlaq. What about your children? Unfortunately, many people think that the good father is the one who provides for his children. Alhamdulillah, I gave them the money today. I am able to provide for them. Well, that's good. That's very good. And that's your duty. But there is something else. Did you educate them? Did you teach them Islam? Did you teach them how to pray, how to fast, how to be respectful? In the future, people, when they look at your children, if they are good, what they will say? May Allah forgive their parents. May Allah be pleased with their parents. Because they are the ones who educated them. They are the ones who raised them. But if it was the other way, then believe me, before they say anything wrong about the children, they will blame the parents. So, where are you? What about the relatives? Your uncle, your aunt, your brothers, your sisters. Unfortunately, I hear from time to time problem, and one of the brothers, one of the sisters come. For 3 years, did not talk to another brother. I did not talk to my sister for 2 Eids now. I mean, what is this? She's still your sister, regardless of the reason. Remember what Ibn Hazm said? He said, quoting the hadith of the Messenger ﷺ, الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ, the one who joins the kinship is not the one who treats people the same way they treat him. Like if your uncle called you, you call him. If your sister called you, you call her. If she did not, you say, I will not call her, because that's not the one who joins the kinship. The one who joins the kinship is the one who joins it when they dislink it, when they do not join it, when they cut these ties. That's the one who joins the kinship. So do you do this or not? When Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said, the one who mistreats his family, his neighbor, is the worst among the people. Because that's the type of people that your kindness is expected to be shown to them. What about the community? Islamic center, the masjid, your friends, Muslim friends. Do you contribute? Do you add something to this community? Do you act positively if something happened? Or you are a burden? Once you come, they will know there is a problem will happen. You try to find the faults, the mistakes, to point it out, ask yourself. I mean, any one of us could be in this situation. Your neighbors. I mean, do you live in an apartment or a house? Does it have like... are they Muslims or non-Muslims?
Most of them are non-Muslims.
Do you know them? Do you know their names? And very good. How about you, Khalil? I mean, sometimes you have your neighbor, whether he is on the second floor, you are on the first floor, or the opposite, he's underneath, and you don't even know his name. You don't even know who he is. And I'm happy, I don't know anybody. No, you should not do that. Be kind to your neighbors. I mean, this is from Islam, even if they are not Muslims. If they are Muslims, of course, they have a greater right. If they are not Muslims, they still have right. Some people, wallahi, they lived for like 5 years and they don't know their neighbors. I'm not asking you to be 24 hours there every day, but ask about them. I mean, what do you expect? Let me ask you this. Imagine yourself knocking on the door of your neighbor and you gave him something, flowers, gift, food, anything. What will be the reaction? I mean, if they were worst, the people on earth, they will tell you, no, thank you. In general, 99% of the people, they will smile, they will thank you. If you did this again, they will start asking, why? Why is this happening? That's the gate for them to ask about Islam. I mean, even if you know they will not become Muslims, that does not mean you will not be good to them. And then everybody else. How are you towards everybody else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. وَقُولُوا, tell لِلنَّاسِ, to the people. Nas, people, includes everybody. Muslims, non-Muslims, atheists, حُسْنًا, the good word. The good word. Or any word in a good way. Do we do that or not? I mean, what's the difference between a Muslim and non-Muslim? If we act the same way. If we are abused, we try to do the same thing back to them. If someone attacked me, I want to attack him again. What's the difference then? I mean, these things are really important. And we need to focus on them. So we will start the details, inshallah, with the akhlaq, with our akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first semester, I asked many students to write a paper about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Knowledge is key for love. When you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for you, you will love Him more. So you need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran many times. Allahu alladhi khalaqakum. Allah is the one who created you. Thumma razaqakum. Then He provided for you. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, then He caused you to die. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, then He will cause you. He will resurrect you. Then to Him you shall return. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another ayah said that He is the one who created heavens and earth and provided from all types of fruits for you. Many ayat. In ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayu al-qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah introduced Himself in the Quran. Do you know this or not? What do you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In order to have good akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing is you have to be obedient. We are servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a slave, imagine you have a slave and you order him, you command him to do something and he says no. He doesn't have the right to say no. Why? Because he's a slave. And he will be punished if he said no. Yet both of you are created beings. What about our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He commands us to do something? Do you do it or not? Again, how can you test yourself? Very easy question. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you do it? We have many commands in the Quran. Many commands in the Quran. Check on each one of them. When you hear it, do you find yourself doing this? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, avoid it, do not be involved in it, do not do it, do you avoid it or you are doing it? This thing should be reflected in your actions. I mean, unfortunately, we are good speakers, wallahi, and sometimes we are good actors as well. You look at one of us, and I'm the first one, mashallah, he looks good. But when you check, subhanallah, we only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. So this is easy. Check. Ask yourself on each command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says do. Do you do it? And check on each thing that you are prohibited to do. Do you avoid it or not? You have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now again, if you have a slave and you commanded him to do 10 things and he did 5, would you say, that's enough, he did 5? Or you'll say, 5 things he did not do. What do you think? Because he's a slave. He's a slave. Many people, what do they say? Alhamdulillah, akhi, I pray, that's enough. No, that's not enough. When it will be enough? When you are perfect. The Prophet ﷺ, all his sins were forgiven, yet he still worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not say, I am forgiven, so I will do whatever I want. But some people, they do that. I have enough hasanat to cover me. This is not guaranteed. Wallahi, it's not guaranteed. You don't know. So, you need to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people give the excuse, everybody is doing it. Or, I did something, so it's the same. I'm doing this again. Just like what Ibn Hazm rahimahullah said about the people, two excuses people are giving when they sin. One of the qualities of the Muslim to improve his akhlaq, he has to be sensitive. What do we mean by that? Sensitive means if you committed a sin, you feel the heat of it. You're not cold blooded. That's the meaning of sensitive. You don't say, if you committed a sin, it is a small sin. There is a greater sin that I did not do, so alhamdulillah. No. These are the footsteps of the shaitan if you follow them. So you need to be sensitive. Narrated Anas and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he told the people, now look when he said that. That's right after the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second generation. The generation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that it is one of the best generations after him. He said, you are committing sins. We used to consider them at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as major sins, and you don't even care about them. He's telling this to the people in his time. إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْمَلُونَ عَمَالًا كُنَّا نَعُدُّهَا مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ عَلَى أَهْدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. It's trivial in their eyes, but they told them at the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, we used to consider these things as major sins. And again, the example of the true Muslim and the hypocrite. The Muslim, when he commits a sin, he thinks that it is like a mountain over his shoulders. But the hypocrite, it's just like a fly. And it flew away. So where are you? You need to be sensitive. One of the akhlaq of the Muslim with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repentance. You need to be repentant. You repent constantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this ayah. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم. And those who, when they do an evil thing or wrong themselves, remember Allah and implore forgiveness for their sins. Who forgives sins? Save Allah only. And will not knowingly repeat the wrong they did. I want to ask you one question. Did you have any time flat tire? Too many. What if you had a flat tire while you are on your way to your work and you are late? And you reached your work. Will you be smiling, happy, or you will be upset? Honestly, what do you think? Usually, what happens? Ashamed? You are late? Are you pleased with yourself or you're upset?
You'll be
sort of upset. What if on the same day you missed the subh prayer? Will you have the same feeling or not? Honestly. Let's be honest. What do you think? So a flat tire will affect you more than missing the subh prayer? There is a problem here. It's in our akhlaq, in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll mention to you one story at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sulaym radiallahu anha and her husband, Abu Talha. Their son was sick. He was very sick. He went to the prayer. He did not miss the prayer, although his son was sick. And when he came back, what happened to his son? He was dead. He was already dead. Why? Because they knew the value of the prayer. They knew what prayer means in Islam. So again, I don't want to go deeper. I don't like to take the negative aspect, but it's tragic. Wallahi, it's tragic. I mean, if it's a flat tire, if it's the car itself, if you had an accident, so what? As long as your religion is okay. But the problem, we don't care about many important things, and we care about many simple things. Worldly things, we care about them. This is a problem that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us overcoming. Are you pleased with Allah's decree subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or you complain? Now, life is not sometimes a pleasing journey. You have tests, you have difficulties, you have hardships, you have all sorts of strange things, bitter things that are going on. What's your attitude in every time something happens? Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he was on the deathbed, and he was suffering, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "O Allah, if you increase, that's fine. By Allah, I love you." That's what Mu'adh said. He knew that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Of course, we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safety in ourselves, in our families, in our thing. But if something wrong happened, are we pleased with it or not? Mu'adh radiallahu an, he was dying. He was on the verge of death. So, he knew that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he reached a level of iman that he was enjoying this. because it is from Allah. Whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I accept it. It is from Allah. One man, he purchased watermelon. His wife asked him to purchase watermelon. So he brought it home, and when his wife opened it up, she found out that it is not good. It's bitter, it's spoiled, whatever. And she was very upset. And he told her, why you are upset? Are you upset because of the creation of Allah, or are you upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You should not be upset at all. Allah is the one who created it, and it is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why you are upset? I mean, these things, you may think they are simple, but when you apply them, you'll be very happy in your life. In your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing could cover all the virtues. And if you reach it, that's the best level, which is the level of ihsan. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Worship Allah as if you see Him. For if you don't see Him, He sees you. Do you do that or not? Many times, if you're alone, you do things that if people are with you, you may never do them. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's with you every day, every second. It's very easy if you apply it. Ask yourself always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Is He pleased with what I'm doing or not? We try to forget this. Nobody is here? Okay. Well, Allah is there. Allah is always there. So this is an introduction. As I told you, we need to implement, to practice. That's the purpose of this subject. I don't want just to quote to you ayat and ahadith. I want to see a change. And I hope, inshallah, that you are changing, you are improving your character. With this, we will conclude our session, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.